Hey, I'm Adil Bandukwala.
And I'm Kaushik Satish. And this is the Great Indian Marketing Show, where we go behind the scenes with top marketing leaders.
We uncover not just what marketers do, but how.
Our guest today is Sujit Janardhanan, who leads marketing for the Google Cloud business in India. He was previously the Vice President Global Marketing at Aranka. Before Aranka, he was with Amazon, where he was part of the initial team that drove the growth for AWS's business in the Indian subcontinent.
Sujit joined Amazon from Netmagic, an NTT Com group company, where his role included developing strategy to build the Netmagic brand, while also leading the corporate field marketing, corporate communications, and the inside sales functions. With a career spanning over 20 years, Sujit has a deep understanding of the IT ecosystem and complex enterprise decision-making processes. Thanks for making time for our podcast today, Sujit, and welcome to the Great Indian Marketing Show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Sujit, let's start with how your career has evolved. Cut your teeth in the event space working at Showbiz. Looking back, how did it set you up for a career in marketing at what we call today big tech? What did you pick up in those days that proved fundamental to your career? Let's start understanding how you got started.
I'll kind of draw the line a little behind my time at Showbiz, right? As in even previous to that, and that was at Circon. Circon was an early player in the professional conference management space in India. And those were days, this is early 2000s, when technology brands were just beginning to increase their spends from a marketing perspective in India as a country. They were also building out their marketing teams. But the marketing teams in those days were pretty lean, which meant that they were always looking for agencies who could kind of supplement their effort in the market. And that's where I got exposed to what we now call the B2B technology space, right? Working on brands like Oracle, Sun Microsystems, BEA Systems, and a bunch of others. And I was pretty intrigued because I got exposed to it accidentally. So it was not by design that I landed up in this space. And the journey continued with Showbiz, where we kept on working with multiple brands like Symantec, Veritas, Accenture, and a host of others. And what I realized was the challenges that B2B technology brands face as compared to maybe B2C brands, where everything is a lot more standardized, I would say. It was complex, but you didn't have tools and systems in place in those days. I'm talking about very, very early days where our modes of communication were things like fax machines and direct mail. You had to make phone calls. Your database sources were yellow pages, and it was crazy times. The few fundamentals that I picked up as learnings, and that's held me in good stead and enabled me as I continued my journey into the professional marketing space that is on the corporate side, what I call the other side of the table if you're in an agency world. For a couple of things. Point number one was the visibility of fundamentals, right? What I call as brass tacks or aate dal ka bhav. And it is super critical because your ability to visualize something right from an idea or a campaign or a program to the end execution state and outcomes is super critical. And my stint on the agency front, working for multiple brands, building and executing a lot of those campaigns and programs for them, made it a lot more easier for me to be able to do that visualization right in the beginning. And that proved fruitful because I could actually then ensure that, could I get my teams to commit to an idea or should I get them to hold back because we still don't have all the answers. So it helped me cut down a lot of the failures or to fail fast. So that was learning number one. The learning number two was working on multiple brands who brought to the table different parts of the technology stack to enterprises here in the country, gave me exposure to understand what problem statements our customers or enterprise customers trying to solve, understanding what role each part of this technology stack plays in solving some of those problems. So understanding the whole IT ecosystem and the B2B purchase buying process while not directly owning it because I was part of the agency, that was the second big learning. And I think that is super critical for any marketer, right? Knowing your customer, your product, your market space that you're operating in, and what drives behavior of any form. Those are super critical insights for you to bring to play if you want to be a successful marketer or ensure that you build successful campaigns and programs.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing those insights, Sujit. At what point did you figure out in your career journey that you wanted to be
a marketeer? Like, were there one or two core insights that said, all right, this is the path I want to go down by? And what actually triggered those particular inflection points to ensure that you took this leap of faith?
Okay, this is going to sound funny. Okay, point number one, I'm not a marketeer by design. I'm a marketeer by accident. So let me call that out very clearly. I don't have any formal education in marketing. So no MBA, no other exposure to anything that we call marketing as a function or practice. Everything's on been on the job. And like I said, the journey started where they wanted someone who could deal with hotels because they were a professional conference management company. And I had completed my diploma in hotel management. So that was how I started my journey. And when Tech Brand started their business here in India and they were looking for agencies, Sercon decided to switch over and tap into that opportunity. And I was part of that team that did that early days. So it was not really by design. But when I got exposed to this domain, the one thing that hit me was the sheer impact that technology brings to play in the lives of businesses and the end users of the businesses deliver their products or services to. And for me, that was super inspiring and motivating. Waking up every single morning and looking at, hey, what's the new product or solution that we can take to market that will create that outsized impact? And it's been 21 years now, Adil Kaushik, and that has continued. Every single day, I hear some new technology coming in and making a big impact, enabling a small business with a small idea somewhere, making it big, grow beyond what it could have otherwise if technology wasn't there, right? And that is super motivating and inspiring for me. And that's kept me going. I don't think so. I've lost the charm and the excitement that I had when I started off 21 years back. I still feel excited the way I was. The challenges are very different. And that is also exciting and adds to the entire mix.
That's amazing. So just, you know, I want to go to the point where you made about switching from the agency to the corporate side. Right? Why did you choose to do that? Because as you said, at an agency, you get to work with multiple brands, multiple challenges, get to see a lot more things. What made you, you know, make that shift? And when you made that shift, what were some of the things that you noticed? You know, were there any points of, you know, struggle for you that you had to pick up that you didn't have?
Yeah, a bunch. But again, let me give you the context of why I made the switch, right? So this was Showbiz Days. And me and my colleague, Prateek Kumar, who now is the CEO of a company called NeoNiche, which is an events and direct marketing agency based out of Bombay, we were leading a division called Integrated Event Marketing Services at Showbiz. And we were the part of the agency that actually focused on technology companies who looked at more of a retainership engagement with agencies. And we managed that end to end. The one thing that we had done was clearly demarcate the responsibilities amongst us. So I would own a lot of the client servicing and pitching part of the business. And that's where my questioning started. And that was around, hey, we would keep on pitching new ideas and concepts to our technology clients and marketers at the other end. And they would love those ideas. And I would hear from my clients saying that, hey, let me take this idea inside and I'll come back to you on how we can move forward. And then there were weeks that would go by without any answer or response from the other end. And when I would approach them again to check, hey, what's going on? The one thing that constantly came back as an answer was, hey, I don't think so. This will move ahead. So let's scan this and let's focus on the other things that we're doing right now. I could never find the answer of what's going on the other side of the table. And that was a question that kept on troubling for a long, long while. Till we reached a stage in showbiz between me and Prateek that we knew that there was space for only one of us to go up. As fate would have it, I got a call from Mr. Bhatliwala, who used to be the general manager for marketing and communications at that time at 3i Infotech and was a client that we had done just one event for. And he called me up and said, hey, Sujit, I've got a space in my team. Would you like to join us? And I said, wow, the timing couldn't have been perfect. This was exactly when the questioning in my head was right at the peak. And I said, let's take this jump. I took that jump. In fact, I took a remuneration pay cut when I made that switch, by the way. So, which is unlike when you make a career transition. And when I moved to the other side of the table in the first few months, the first thing that hit me hard was my marketing skills didn't matter. What mattered was my ability to get stakeholder buy-ins and understand what drives and motivates each of those stakeholders. What's in it for them? And ensuring that I can bring all of them onto the same page before I can get an idea or a campaign or a program to fruition or ensure that it sees light of day. And that was a big eye-opener because I really did not have that skill set. So I had to build and sharpen that over the years. And that's pretty much been one big area. The second area has been understanding the product and service that you're taking to market and the customers that you intend to serve. That is super critical. Without that, you will never be able to build context, be it internally or externally. I think these were two of my biggest learnings and that I've continued to invest in. So one of the things that I keep on asking my teams, whichever teams I've built over the years, to focus on is ensure that you are speaking to the market directly. You may have a sales team that's customer facing, but you have to be as much customer facing, if not more, and speak to your customers, to your partners directly, because that gives you signals and insights into how things work, what really matters. So that's been something that I've been passing on besides a bunch of other learnings. But yeah, these are the two key ones.
Wow. Okay. So what would you say to that guy on the agency side today, you know, who's probably struggling to understand why don't great ideas move? Now that you've been on the corporate side for about 10 years now?
Great question, Kaushik. As in fact, this is one of the points that I keep on highlighting whenever I speak with any of my agency partners. You need to understand where your client marketeer is at. And that is important. What problems are they trying to solve? And who are the stakeholders that they are trying to convince or get buy-ins from? So it's not about just giving away that particular idea or a campaign or a concept, but helping them ensure that they have all the elements and materials required to be able to sell this convincingly. So, and for that, then you need to ask a lot many more questions than you ask right now, which is included probably in a creative brief. It has to go beyond the creative brief. So there has to be a business brief attached, and that is important. So for me, that's the input that I give all my agency partners. Let me give you the business context too, and not just the creative brief on the problem that I'm trying to solve.
Wow. Okay. So you've seen how the B2B marketing space has evolved, right? Particularly over the last 15 years as the startup and the technology boom has, you know, taken shape over here. How have you seen the B2B marketing space evolve? What are some key trends or key fundamentals that you think have remained or continue to remain? And what are some of the things that are new in the last 4 or 5 years that have changed how we do B2B marketing today?
So what hasn't changed, Kaushik, has been the need to understand the product and the service and the context in which they go and sit in a customer's world, right? And that is super important. So I keep on calling this out. I would say that marketers have to be business folks first. So you need to know your market, your customers intimately. And it has to start from there. And then comes the art and the science of marketing, where you try and plug in all that you have as resources. It could be tools, it could be channels, and so on and so forth. You bring to play all of them, build the right construct to be able to solve that particular business problem, be it internally or be it for your customers or partners. So it starts there. What has essentially changed or evolved over the years has been what's available, right? Be it what is available for you to reach out to the audience segment that you probably identified as a focus segment for yourself, how your products and services could be experienced by your end users. Also, the way you're able to bring together data and insights, I think that's been a huge evolution in the last, I would say, half a decade or so. Those are things that have changed. But what that's also brought to play is a lot of cloudiness, the way I look at it. It's so important every single time for a marketer to kind of zoom out and then look at the big picture and keep asking the right questions. What I have always felt, and I've been a victim of this on multiple occasions, where I'm so much in the thick of things that I don't take time out to zoom out and ask the questions to give me the right answers and help me and my team to focus. And that's something that I've been doing consistently now of late, especially in businesses like cloud business, which at an exponential scale, right, in terms of growth and opportunity, it is important to take time out to zoom out and ask those questions. For me, those are pieces that have really changed.
It's very interesting, Sujit, that you just brought about the scale of the cloud business. And on that, let's get into our next question, which is, how would you define your role today at Google and the role of marketing at Google Cloud India?
It's a really complex business, as in, yeah, the opportunity is huge, but with that also comes the big responsibility that any hyperscale provider like a Google Cloud has to shoulder in the market. And I think that is very clear to each one of us, especially marketers like myself and my team. And we are very cognizant of that particular fact. Let me kind of put that in context, right? I'll kind of draw an analogy and a story, which is actually shared by Urs Hulse, who's our SVP for infrastructure and tech at Google Cloud. And you should listen into this video that he recently recorded and shared publicly as part of Next On Air, which is a global event. And here's the analogy that he shared. Till around, I would say, the late 90s, consumer tech was really lagging behind. All the goodies as far as great technology was concerned was with businesses or enterprises, the big server rooms and whatever you call it, the software, etc. Consumers were really kept away from access to technology, right? But then came the internet boom, early 2000s, and then we saw that whole curve change. Consumers started getting access to all the awesome tech. Part of the reason why consumer tech really took off, and we see that even today, as far as the pace of evolution in consumer space is concerned, has been because technology there got standardized. So you had standardized browsers, mobile operating systems, and everything was built on top of that. So developers or whoever is building applications or services or products for consumers could do that at a fast scale, as in without having to deal with challenges of, hey, there are different versions of tech lying here and there. I don't know how to ensure that every user has got the same experience, all of those pieces, right? And there's a lot more to it. I'm kind of simplifying this. However, the enterprise business unfortunately started lagging behind there. And enterprises started looking like snowflakes. Every snowflake is different. Even if there is a particular software in, say, 10 organizations, each of those 10 organizations are different versions of that software, which meant that their ability to, even for the software provider or for the enterprise, to build or to adopt was always going to be a challenge. And that we saw constantly getting aggravated or amplified as we kept moving forward. Come cloud, we, for the first time in the enterprise space, have the opportunity that it can standardize a lot of that. And it can become the operating system on which businesses can then start innovating and building solutions what really matter to them and their end users. And that's what we've been seeing in the last decade or so. And we will see further acceleration of this one through standardized open source stacks, like in the case of Google Cloud, it's Anthos, where interoperability and standardization of how enterprise users can build, manage, et cetera, become easier and faster, while still addressing all the problems as far as security, compliance, et cetera, is concerned. And I think that is really going to accelerate the pace at which this adoption is going to be visible to all of us. I will bring the focus back to India as a market. India is probably at very early stages of cloud adoption today. Around 5% of the IT spend is made in the form of cloud. So we are talking about 95% out there where organizations or enterprises are still buying the old traditional way. And which means that there is a huge journey of unknown that every business which either hasn't started the cloud journey or are in very early stages of the cloud journey have to go through. And that's where they're looking at partners like a Google Cloud to play that role. Handhold us through the journey, help us build the trust and the confidence to navigate this, cut our risk down. And I think that's the responsibility that we take very seriously. And those are some of the aspects that we really focus on, both in our GTM outreach and even in our marketing messaging and programs and campaigns.
So that was very good insight, Sujit, a macro level in terms of how the enterprise B2B space is operating. Let's get a little deeper and understand on a very micro level. What does a typical day at work for you look like? We're very curious.
I think it looks like what it would be for most of us off late, filled with meetings, starting early in the morning till late in the evening. Most of them where you are jumping into a conversation, maybe barely understanding what problems are we trying to solve and make sense of it while you're in the conversation. But I think what a lot of us have been doing, and I think this is also advice from my end, is taking time out to zoom out, and that is important. At a micro level, most of my calls end up being with the regional teams, in some case with global teams, most of the time with the teams here in India or with customers and partners, as they're talking about operational challenges that we are trying to solve or thinking of, hey, what's the next big idea that we want to bet on or reacting to a change that we've seen in the market. All of those form part of the day. But the one thing that I really take time out, and I think this has been something that became very obvious to me during the pandemic phase, where I realized that this meeting syndrome was getting amplified, was finding that time to really reflect. And I find that time early in the morning. So I start my day at 4:45 a.m. So my time for reflection is from 5 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., where no one else has got access to that time. It's just me. And it's been super helpful. It's been a couple of months, and it's worked like a dream for me. So a piece of advice, I think it is really important to find the time for reflection.
Thanks, Sujit. You know, when you were talking about handholding businesses in India, one of the things I was really keen to understand was, what are some of the more compelling ways in which you're seeing businesses in India use the power of Google Cloud, you know, be it through data, be it through, the intelligence, to drive very meaningful customer experiences? Are there any examples that you could share with us?
A bunch of them, Kaushik. And this is an interesting part, right? As in, when we started off our journey as Google Cloud, and obviously we were the late entrant in this space, but that also gave us the advantage of a lot of hindsight of what the future would look like and what would hence we need to invest or build for our customers or even our partners for that matter. And I think building that platform play was super important. And Google's always focused on building the platform play and the ecosystem play. And I think that is how a business like cloud is also going to pan out. However, to answer the question, right, as in, we've realized that every enterprise business, and it could be from any industry or segment, right? It could be a digital native, early stages of growth. It could be a large enterprise which is trying to modernize or to transform the way their business is built, think of a new business model, or launch a new product or service. What we realize is we need to go and meet our customers where they are. And that's been the ethos with which we have built everything at Google Cloud. Can we go and meet our customers where they are and start their journey from there? And that is important. Expecting them to make the transition to where our technologies are, which could be in a future state, is really unfair. And that's been at the core of all that we've done, be it our sales plays, be it our marketing plays, et cetera. And we have seen customers do magic with what we provide as our technology tools, right? Be it a startup like Niramai, which is solving problems at a human social level where we are trying to figure out how AI and ML, or they are trying to figure out how AI and ML can take away the challenge of identifying breast cancer in women through a lot of automation, taking out the human element, both from an error perspective, as well as from a perspective of, hey, how do I go up to a person and go through this whole intrusive experience of being examined? Can we take away all of that? And they've been solving that at scale. Or a business like L&T Financial Services, who are very clear on their focus on building a great customer experience, cutting down the time when a rural consumer who wants to purchase either an agricultural equipment or a two-wheeler to help their business and so on and so forth, applies for a loan and their loan gets approved. How can they cut down that time for resolution so that they can complete what they came to achieve as a consumer as soon as possible? So we've seen a broad spectrum. We've also seen players like ShareChat, who have built a messaging social app for India at scale, and they've got millions of users today, and they have scaled during this pandemic because we've seen people wanting more and more of the social interaction using local languages, which is vernacular languages across this country, and how they saw our platform could enable them to bring to life a lot of the products and services that they saw being requested for or as a want from their users real time on the platform and expedite or accelerate that. So it's a wide range. And in all of this, like I said, it's been our ability to go and meet our customers where they are and start the journey from there. And it's been exhilarating. And it's just the beginning. What I see as possibilities with technologies like cloud is just enormous. So it's up to the human creative mind on what we think we want to make possible.
Yeah,
technology is no more a barrier, is what I would call out.
Absolutely. One last question on Google. So we've obviously seen that, in the last couple of years, you've had a new CEO, Thomas Kurian. He's really redefining, in fact, what cloud tech today is, right? You're moving away from traditional enterprise apps like CRM, HCM, to more AI, ML-driven solutions that are driving very specific outcomes. And this is a very differentiated strategy for Google when you compare it against the other cloud technology companies, right? But this has also meant that Google Cloud today is transitioning significantly towards a channel partner model, right? So I want to understand from you, what goes into driving a successful channel partner model? What have been some of the learnings? What have you seen work, not work?
It's a great question, Kaushik, especially when we speak in the context of B2B technology, the partner ecosystem is our biggest enabler. However, the way I see this, and this has been my personal point of view that I've held on to for a while now, as I've gone through multiple technology players as an employer, has been the focus on ensuring that partners are able to build successful businesses. Unfortunately, I've seen most of the tech brands have a very transactional view of the partner ecosystem, right? Where they are helping fulfill something for the end customer or complete a financial transaction and so on and so forth. And it is important for us to change that game. And Google Cloud is really committed to that, as in we're probably the only tech brand who's got a 100% partner-attached strategy. We will not go to market without our partners in the game. That's point number one. As in, if we can't help partner organizations build successful businesses, we won't be able to build the business as per the vision that we have for this one. And I think that is super critical. And that would mean ensuring that we have an ecosystem mindset. And that's what's clearly called out in the vision, even Thomas Kurian's been articulating on multiple occasions, is focus on building the ecosystem, enabling them to build successful businesses, and thus enable them to help our customers succeed. And you'll see more and more of that play out as we continue our journey of building this particular business. And the reason why I call that problem statement out, Kaushik, is if you look at revenue data for our partners, right? Why don't we have a $1 billion partner organization in this country? I leave aside all the large global system integrators, please. Okay. India spends close to $90+ billion in technology, okay, as of last year. How come we don't have even a single $1 billion channel partner business here in the country? And it's been well over two decades that B2B technology has been in play in this country. So what's keeping them behind? And I think that's something that we as principal players have to be very cognizant of. And I think Google is committed to play that role. And we are committed to building our partner programs, et cetera, to enable that story.
Very interesting insight, Sujit. Going about what the world is currently going through today, would love to understand how much of your 2020 marketing playbook have you had to rewrite? Is there any one tactic or strategy that potentially surprised you and gave you outsized results?
Oh, we had to iterate a lot. I think we spent a big chunk of our time in just iterating, and that's taken a lot of effort and bandwidth off the team. But the one play, right, as in, so there are two insights that I picked up, and it is connected to one play, as in this whole game of webinars, as we call it, which obviously just blew on everyone's faces, on the faces of marketers who thought that this is the only channel available, and on the faces of all the users that we are bombarding this with. So two insights that we saw, because we believe that it worked beautifully for us, but we clearly segmented our audience to say, hey, what kind of experiences in this virtual meeting space are we going to build for what kind of audience segment? And the first audience segment was obviously the CXOs, right? We actually moved to engaging CXOs only through virtual conversations. The part we changed was we didn't make it a one-way conversation. We made it a multi-way conversation. So, hey, everyone is participating in the conversation. And we saw that every CXO who represented the business wanted to come and share and listen in and learn. And that was amazing. And a connected learning. And I think this was great insight for me as a marketer. What we call as that moment of experience or moment of truth, or there have been multiple variations of that, is that for the first time, I felt my audiences got the power of control in their hands, the power of choice. So they can register for a conversation or a meeting. They can choose to join if they want to join. And if they join and they find the content not relevant, they can log off. Okay. Unlike a physical event where if they landed at that event place, they would have to think 10 times before deciding to log off and go back, because that's going to be a waste of more hours and they've already committed to this one and they would have probably cleared their calendars and so on and so forth. And I found it super powerful, right? As a marketer, that put pressure on me to be that much more focused on, am I going to deliver value in this engagement? Okay. Because I knew that my customer or my audience persona at the other end has got the power of choice to log off whenever they want to. Okay. And I think that was amazing. The second insight, like I called out, right, is everyone wanted to listen in and learn and participate. And so we ensured that we build platforms to do that rather than make it one-way conversations. And we took that same insight down to even IT practitioners who wanted to learn and build new things. Is he give them all the tools and mechanisms to do that at their own pace and engage rather than make it like a unicast where you listen to all that I've got to say. And I think that's been one big change that we've made, and that worked beautifully well for us.
So, you know, I want to shift gears here a bit. You've built marketing teams over the last 15 years. You've seen different structures work. You've hired for different skill sets, different roles and functions. If today somebody is designing a marketing organization for themselves, right, for their organization, what approach have you seen work for you in how you determine what the structure of that marketing organization should be?
It's a great question, but a tough one to answer, Kaushik. As in, for me, the starting point, right, and I work with different kinds of businesses, global MNCs, Indian enterprises focused on India as a market, Indian enterprises focused on the global markets, and everywhere, and different kinds of teams, right? Corporate marketing teams, brand marketing teams, field marketing teams, PR and communications, digital marketing teams, social media marketing. So all functions and variations of what marketing could bring onto the table for a business. So it always has to start with what are we trying to solve for the business? And I think it has to start with why does the business exist? What is the business trying to solve? And how are they trying to solve? And as the marketing team or the marketing leader, you need to have answers to those questions. It has to start there. And that will give you answers to hence from what these are, the why, the what, and the how to, hey, where are we today as far as being able to fulfill that vision? What's the gap? And how can then marketing play a role in bridging that gap is where everything starts for me as a journey. When I start thinking of org structures, roles and responsibilities, the kind of skill sets we need to bring into play. But if I have to standardize, there are three things that I've always held at the core of in my conversations when I'm trying to evaluate talent that I bring on board, right, in any organization. And that's been three things. First one is curiosity. And I think in today's world, it's all the more an absolute necessity, because if you're not asking questions on a daily basis, no matter how stable your business is, how well you're able to land your goals, et cetera, is concerned, if an individual is not asking questions on a daily basis, you will miss out on something, if not today, for the future. So curiosity is a super important trait. The second piece is ownership, where the buck stops at the individual, right? As in, if you don't have that at the core of you as a professional, you will struggle in a business context where you're to work with teams, cross-functional, et cetera. It can't be that the ownership is co-owned. So if you are part of a project or a program, you are 100% owner of it, both in success and failure. And that is important as a trait and a mindset. And the third piece is really passion, because it's such a complex world that we live in. And then if you dive into the world of marketing, we are talking about technology at play, the complexity of large teams that you have to work with. It can burn you out if you're not passionate about it. And that passion is important. So are you in this because you love doing this, or you're in this because this is another role or a job? Because I strongly believe that everyone can find an answer to their why and figure out what's the right job or role that they should be in. So I always believe that you need to fit the right talent at the right place. You may have great talent, but fit into the wrong place and you would still have failure. So if I have answers to these three questions in context of the why and the what and how of the organization is how I have built teams. So those are some of my learnings that I've applied.
Sujit, what's the one superpower that you have that makes you a great marketer?
Not superpower, as in the one thing that held me in good stead throughout, right? Kaushik has been constantly reading and consuming all that's out there. Because if you're able to connect the dots by bringing in all that knowledge and information, I think you're able to bring so much more value to the teams that you work with. And that's probably something that I have learned, and it's part of my way of life today. As in, if I'm not reading something at least an hour every day, I can't sleep. So that's probably my superpower.
And the one you wish you had?
I wish I could sleep. Sleep is super important. And while I may be joking about it, but yeah, I generally end up having not more than 5 hours of sleep. I wish I could get more sleep. So that's another superpower that I would want to add to the repertoire.
But I think, Sujit, you underplayed one of your superpowers. And that was great insight to me when you particularly started this podcast with us today, where you spoke about how important it is to, one, ensure you have stakeholder buy-in across a common cause and vision, and then rally multiple teams. And these have to be cross-functional teams, not necessarily just your teams, to go ahead and achieve a particular outcome. Because a lot of times people think that, oh, am I a great marketeer? But like you said, it's not about being a great marketeer. It's about your ability to get shit done. And getting shit done today is a ridiculously collaborative effort because not everybody wants to do what they're supposed to do. But how do you kind of excite them to come play the game with you so that the org eventually wins? And I think that is a superpower. If a lot of us had that superpower, I think the world would be so much more of an amazing place.
Plus 1,000 to that, Adil, as in, I could not agree more to that. But the reason I would not call that as a superpower as yet is it's a sword that one has to keep on sharpening because, and in today's world, it's all the more complex and difficult, right? Because everyone's in a different state. Everyone's got different problems that they are dealing with on the personal front. It is challenging. And as marketing leaders or leaders in general in any business, right, I think our responsibilities and roles have just got amplified and we really have to step up. And that's another thing that keeps me awake, as in, am I really stepping up?
I think you hit the nail on the head. This is something that is a muscle that is perpetually in motion that we are trying to build towards. It's almost like if you're not consuming protein every day, you're going to lose muscle. With that, let's move to the other track, which is very important, which is, you know, kind of interacting with sales and aligning with sales. And that is my next question, which is, what is like Google Cloud's approach for hunting and farming scenarios? Two very, very different scenarios when it comes to acquiring and scaling customers. Do you have a heavy named accounts play? How important is something like accounts-based marketing at this point in time? And how does it integrate into your overall account strategy? I'm sure the world is very eager to understand how you'll operate.
Yep. So like any tech brand, right, as in, yes, we do have a named account play and a very strong one at that. As in fact, like I called out, right, if you look at any market, there's a large chunk of the market that's still not moved to buying the cloud way, if I have to call it. So they still are buying the technology or building the technology roadmap the old traditional way. And there is a need to change that. So hence, there has to be an account-based approach to a lot of the segments that we tap into or we focus on. And that's where there's one thing that I would want to call out differently, right? As in, I've heard this this terminology called account-based marketing for I think it's been almost a decade, if not more, that it's been in play. But I've kind of taken a step further, and which is what is called as account-based engagement. And that is important. That has to be the base framework. And that's where sales and marketing both have to come together. Otherwise, it becomes a largely marketing-focused play, and you bring in sales more at the time when you bring in insights and pass it on to them. Whereas how do you collaborate right from step one is important. So you're part of the account planning process. Do you have insights into how they are planning their accounts? Do you understand how they are prioritizing what solution plays matter to a customer based on the insights that they have at an account level, and so on and so forth, and then plugging in your marketing plays into it. And I think to enable that, you need to start with an account-based engagement framework where you think sales and marketing together. It's easier said than done, though, Adil. It is hugely complex, especially in big organizations where you would have distributed teams. There are multiple cross-functional teams involved because it's just not sales then. Then there is your pre-sales teams and you have your professional services teams. You will have your partner teams. You will need to bring to play all of these stakeholders to be able to play their role and part, and plugging them in at the right moment, at the right time to create an experience and engagement is a challenge. So for us, it's work in progress. I would say we are in very early stages of doing that. But the successful part has been our ability to align at the account planning or the segment planning stage. So knowing where we are starting off. So we are on a common page. And I think that's something I would call it as 50% of the journey. And the remaining 50% is what we are fine-tuning before we can really scale. Because like I said, this is a scaled business. But at the same time, while it's a scale business, we still have to customize and personalize to make it contextual and meet the customers where they are. And that's what we're building towards right now.
So what would be the foundation of an ABM strategy? Like, for example, at Google, you know, from a talent point of view, from a structure point of view, or even from a technology point of view, or even data, like, what are some of the factors that are absolutely crucial for a great ABM strategy?
So it starts with talent, frankly, Kaushik. I think everything else you can bring to play later. But I'll give you an example from a talent perspective, right? I would say that if you're looking someone to lead your account-based engagement play, and who will be a marketing representative, it has to be someone who is a business marketer and not so much focused or who has got core skill sets in campaigns and programs. That has to be secondary. The primary skill set has to be business understanding and knowledge, someone who truly understands and has access to customers and customer insights. And that is super critical. Like in the case of Google Cloud, we built our talent exactly that way or prioritized the talent that we brought on the table. And what that enables is someone who sales also trust because they know that they understand how their journeys play out when they are engaging customers. And I think that is super critical because then it becomes a win-win. Then you got someone on both sides talking the same language and not someone on the marketing side talking the marketing language and sales talking the sales language. And I think that is important. So that talent piece is where it all has to start. The second piece, like I said, is your initial planning step, right? As in, and I think creating that standardized framework is important. It could start from what sales uses as tools, and then you extend it into marketing tools or frameworks. That is fine. And that is what we are doing right now at Google Cloud. Or you create a common framework that includes both, and then you start off, which is a lot more heavy lifting, according to me. I think that can be done more in businesses that are in stable state or business as usual state. In a high growth business like Google Cloud, I think that's harakiri. So we are taking the route that works the best in terms of ensuring that we have a smooth transition to where we want to be. The third piece is obviously tools, right? As in, at the end of the day, if we can't bring all of this insights that we gather after we drive those engagements and conversations in terms of accessibility and use to that account executive who's at the end managing that relationship, then it all fails. And I think that is super critical. And more importantly, I would say extended beyond just that account executive, but to anyone and everyone who would want to touch that account. And I think that is another critical component, but I would put that third in the list in terms of how I would approach it. But that is another important play.
So I think the question was, as playbooks are getting rewritten now, right? And obviously consumer behavior has shifted and a lot of changes that we are seeing now, probably they're going to continue. Right. I don't think in many cases we are going back to the world that was, you know, 2019. So today, if you had any piece of advice for marketing leaders in terms of how they could optimize their budgets, right, how they could optimize for bigger bang, what would that be? What should they watch out for as they re-strategize, particularly for 2021?
It is an important question for all marketers to ask, by the way. And I think that I'll go back to that point that I mentioned, right, as in it's important for us to zoom out. A lot of the times we get so focused on just landing all the tactics, the programs and campaigns, we don't ask the question on what's working and why is it working? And is it solving for the problem statement or the goal that we started off with? And I think it's important to constantly keep on zooming out and asking those questions and then prioritizing or reprioritizing. And I think that's where it all starts. And then it does, it is immaterial as in based on everything else, right? As in what channels, what tools, those are all secondary. And I think those are choices that every marketer is very well versed in terms of being able to make a decision around. But the point that I have fallen victim to in the past and I've seen my teams fall victim to is constantly zooming out and asking these critical questions. And I think that helps you constantly ensure better dollar allocation at the right places that gives you more bang for the buck. The other connected point that I would like to make is I've always seen when you have continuity of a particular strategy or a program or a campaign, you tend to get a lot more bang for the buck as compared to when you do a bunch of ad hoc tactical interventions. Okay, you could do that if you're trying to do A/B testing and trying to experiment and identify what will work and what will not work. But once you figure out what will work, please build your plan such that you commit to for a longer period of time. I've seen marketeers start something off and disconnect or disengage that from the market very early without having really given it time to mature for you and your teams to really learn to iterate, et cetera, before you can call something a failure or a success. And I think it is important to do that. What it also does for the market segment or the audience persona segment that you're targeting is a lot more consistency in what they can expect from you as a brand. And within that context, you can do a lot of experimentation, but build something that's a lot more programmatic and long-term that you can learn from and iterate with, rather than keep on adding multiple different kinds of interventions, which can be chaotic both for you from a resource allocation perspective, because that's a lot of start and stop that you'll have to do and heavy lifting, versus something that's long drawn. You know that this is what you're going to commit to, and within that, you experiment.
Yeah, I mean, look at the bigger picture, look at the bigger story. I think that that's a great take to end on. Thank you so much, Sujit.
Sujit, fascinating insights. And I love the fact that you ended the note on rapid experimentation. It's something that I believe in. And in certain elements, I could also understand that you said it's not just about constant shipping, but it's also taking a step back and thinking about the big picture. So thanks a lot for joining us, Sujit. We really enjoyed conversing with you. We're very, very excited to go back and take this live.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Sujit. Hey, that was Sujit Janardhanan, Head of Marketing at Google Cloud India, joining us for a fantastic conversation on all things B2B marketing.
Thank you for joining us. And if you've liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe to us. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast networks. Until our next episode, this is
Kaushik Satish
and Adil Bandukwala signing off for the Great Indian Marketing Show.